This is from John 10:22-30. Then came the festival of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple courts walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews were there gathered around him, saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. And I and the Father are one."
It is good to be with you today, and I have been a part of this congregation before anybody knew this was going to be a congregation. Randy Fry, my district superintendent at the time, and Petter came up here probably 2011, 2012, and dreamed about an English-speaking church here in this place. And then throughout the course of time, this is what's coming. So I very much love being here and appreciate this. And it's been a great experience for me, and it's been a great experience for my family. We are going to leave here this afternoon and go to Vimperk and do some work down there because my church in Cleveland has a partnership with that church. And so very pleased to be here with you today and to be a part of this congregation. Several months ago, my wife Kelly asked me, she said, "Tim, why do you believe?" And I thought, well, I was going through my mind about all these things that I believe. You know, I believe in the resurrection. I believe in the cross. I believe in redemption. I believe in, you know, the Nicene Creed, the Apostles' Creed. I believe all these things. And I believe those things are so very important. That, you know, if you don't believe in the physical resurrection of Jesus, it's hard really to call yourself a Christian. But ultimately, when it came down to it, when I said, you know, the reason I believe is because of my experience. Not of just some, I've just had this great, 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 great experience, but because of the experience that I've personally had with the risen Christ and how he's moved in my life and how he's shown himself to me. Now, I can't explain that to you. I can't say now 2 + 2 = 4, and Jesus plus this equals my experience. I mean, it makes sense and I can prove it to you. But if I could prove it to you, there would be no mystery. And we're gonna eat at the Lord's table today, and that's mystery. And that's okay that we can't explain everything. And so my experience, I've got a master's degree and I've studied theology and I've studied all this stuff and I've studied the Bible for years. I've been in church since I was 2 weeks old. As a friend of mine said, I'm a cradle Christian. And my parents, we were in church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and any other time the church doors were open. So this is just, it's really just been a part of my life and who I am. But I did come to accept it for myself, and we all have to do that. But experience is a funny thing. Two people can have the same, you know, experience something the same and have two totally different ideas about or when they come away from it. How many of you like to go to the beach? Yeah. You know, I like the beach okay. But, you know, my wife, she can go to the beach. She said, "Oh, I love the warm sand and the nice breeze and the water and all this stuff." And I could just stay out there for hours. I'm like, man, the sand's hot, you know, and the breeze is too hot. And then you got all these birds flying around. And, you know, I just don't, you know, it's just not all that. So it's the same thing, only different, right? So experience is a funny thing. I know many times I've been a pastor now for 28 years, And there have been times I've preached a sermon and I thought it was okay, you know. And somebody will come up to me and say, oh, that really spoke to me. And I said, well, tell me how that spoke to you. And they start talking about something. I'm thinking in my head, that's not what my sermon was about at all. True. Yeah. That's not what my sermon was about at all. But our experience with what the Holy Spirit does in us, and what the Holy Spirit does when we read the scripture, when we sing, he's a good, good father. Some people, that might be a really good thing. But for some people, they've never had a good father, and they don't know what that means. So experience is a funny thing. And we can't base everything we do or believe on our experience. But our experience is important. So while I want to say that, you know, what we believe, you know, what we believe is very important, and why we believe is important, experience is also very important as well. I'm a United Methodist, we're Wesleyans, and we believe, you know, and John Wesley, when he had his heart warmed, you know, his heart was strangely warmed, that he believed that God forgave his sins, even, you know, he forgave my sins, even mine. And I felt love for other people. So there's this experience, this heartwarming experience that we believe that in. And experience is very important to everybody. I've lived in the States all my life, and experience is a huge deal for everybody there. And you've seen all this on TV, and not just in the States, but everywhere, these extreme sports. And I'm just like, I really don't need to experience that. I'm good, you know. I don't need to jump out of a plane without a parachute in a suit that makes me look like a bird or whatever. I don't need to do that. I really don't. I don't need, but some people just need to experience more and more and more and more. And sometimes those people experience those things, that's the last thing they experience, you know. So we have to be careful, you know, with how we experience. But anyway, and as Wesleyans, how we kind of do theology and how we do life is we look at the scripture. What does God's word say? God gave us a brain. We can use our brain to know things. There's tradition. We have a long tradition of church history, of church fathers, people who are way smarter than me, who spent way more time studying the Bible than I've ever done, and they've passed down these things to us, and then we have our experience. Does my experience line up with what the scripture says? And if my experience doesn't line up with what the scripture says, then my experience needs to change. But I do need to have an experience. And so hopefully we've had some experience of Jesus. And so I just want to say a few things about that, because I think that it's very important for us to deal with that. When we talk about your experience or my experience, I cannot compare my experience to yours. That my experience is my experience. And as much as I might want you to have my experience, you're not going to have my experience. Now, they may be similar. They may be like unto, but they won't be the same. And so we can't compare our experiences, because no two will be the same. There'll be similarities in what, but maybe not in how. How many times in the scripture did God appear in a burning bush? Once. It never happened to anybody else. And so Moses alone had that experience. And so we may have our own kind of experience that's just ours, and nobody else will have it. Now, we're all human beings, so there's going to be some things that are similar. But I can't compare mine to yours, or you can't compare yours to mine and say, well, because mine's not like yours, then it's not valid. Or nor should I say, you've got to have one like mine so that it will be valid. We can't compare those things. It's like one of those things that say, oh, you know, I wish that I could sing like whoever. Well, if God wanted you to sing like them, he'd have made you them. He's giving you something. And when you experience him, you find that. The second thing about our experiences is don't elevate your experience don't make more of it than it should be. Sometimes we think that our experience is the most important thing. And again, we come back to that deal of if it's not like mine, then it's not genuine. You know, our experiences are all different. And when you read the scripture, David experienced God way different than Abraham. Elijah experienced God way different than David. And so we can't compare and do those things with each other. And so we can't elevate it to say my experience is the gold standard and you have to meet it. And a lot of people do. I know if any of you have lived for any amount of time in the States, that there are churches that think, you know, that we have the way and we're the only way. And I'm just like, no, not so much. So but when we begin to elevate an experience or a type of experience, then I think we're shortchanging who God is and what he can do. Now, I know I have people in my church who are new to the faith and they've struggled with things their whole lives. And they talk about, I still have all these doubts. I still have all these doubts. And I'm like, I don't think you have doubts. I think you have things you don't understand. And we use the word doubt when we really mean misunderstand, because we think, well, if I don't understand it, then I must be doubting. There are a lot of things in the Bible I don't understand. Other than about three or four chapters, I don't understand the book I don't understand much of Ezekiel. But I do get the Valley of Dry Bones. I do get when the water comes from the temple and gets wider and deeper and changes the Dead Sea into new life. I do get that. I don't get the eyes and the wheels and turning and all this other stuff. And if you've never read Ezekiel, go back and read it. You won't understand it either. You know. But it's okay. Because I don't understand doesn't mean I doubt. Because there's a lot of things that I don't understand. And there are things that I'm learning all the time. And things that I'm learning that have just grown. John was telling me the other day about him reading N.T. Wright. I didn't start reading N.T. Wright until about 8 years ago. And it's just been like, oh my gosh. Did I even know what the Bible said before, kind of thing? So we grow, we learn, our experience grows. And so we need to do that. The other thing about our experiences that I want to encourage all of us is that we should never stop experiencing Jesus. We need to always experience who he is. We need to, and we may not have some big, pie in the sky revelation every day where Jesus lights up our bedposts and all this other stuff, but we should be experiencing him at least occasionally, regularly. And I think also we need to learn that our experience of him is something that just becomes a quiet trust. My wife and I will be married 30 years this next August. And it's amazing to me, my love for her is different in some ways, in a lot of ways, than it was right before we got married or the first year of our marriage. Right before you get married, I just feel so in love, I just feel so in love. And then after about 2 years, it's like, I don't feel it at all, but I know it. I don't have to feel it. And then now, it's almost like in some ways, the feeling comes back, but it's different. It's deeper, And so I have that experience now that, when I was 25 years old, if you'd have told me what I'm experiencing now, I wouldn't have understood it. But there's just something about being in her presence for me. And it's not that ooey gooey, man, I'm in love. It's just this deep, abiding presence. And that's who we should be with Jesus. We get to that point, which is one of the reasons why the church is the bride of Christ, and marriage is supposed to teach us that. So don't stop experiencing the risen Christ, because he wants to do in us abundantly above all we could ever ask or think. And I don't know about you. I believe that, but I don't understand it. That he can do infinitely more than we can think or imagine. How much can you imagine? So don't stop experiencing Jesus. Do follow. And that's how you keep experiencing him, is we follow. He told the people in Jerusalem, said, you've seen all this stuff, but you don't believe me. And the reason you don't believe me is because you're not following me. My sheep know my voice. They trust me. They follow. It's not that they believe so much, even though they do. It's because they take the time to follow. And they don't follow from a distance. They follow closely. You know, sometimes I think we follow Jesus and we can just barely see him on the horizon and we have no idea what he's up to. And if we're not following close enough, we won't know what he's up to. So it's the difference between just being saved. Well, I'm saved and that's all, I'm good to go. I've got my ticket to paradise and I'm good to go. But if we stay there and we don't follow, we may lose our ticket, you know, or find our tickets invalid because he's so far ahead of us that we just don't know what to do. So do follow. And then the last thing is do help other people to experience Christ. You know, as a pastor of 28 years, most of the people in my churches have always believed that I'm the one who is supposed to save everybody. Or I'm the one who's supposed to be the evangelist. And as I heard a pastor say one time, he said, you know, as a pastor, you're the shepherd. Do shepherds make sheep? Sheep make sheep. Shepherds lead, take care of, and do all those things. But we all need to help people experience Christ, whether that's by the love that we show them, the grace that we offer to them, the things we do when they're hurt, when they're tired. One of the things in the past month or so I've been praying in our pastoral prayer every week is, oh God, help your church rise up in North Carolina and South Carolina where the ravages of Hurricane Florence have come through and killed all these people and destroyed all these homes. Lord, let your church rise up and be grace, so that people can experience the risen Christ and come to know him for themselves. So don't stop. I mean, help people. Help people experience Christ. The resurrection is something we experience. We can't understand it. We can't explain it. And we're not meant to. It's amazing to me when you read the Bible, when you read the New Testament, how little text is given to the resurrection. The greatest miracle in the Bible, the greatest thing in all the Bible was basically, well, he's up. And that's it. I mean, you think about in John, it goes from John 14 to the end of the book. And about John 18 is the only thing that talks about the resurrection. But the resurrection is something that we're supposed to experience and we can't explain it. It's just Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. And Jesus is never to be put in a small package, and he's never supposed to be, okay, I've got Jesus figured out. Now, we live kind of in a tension where, you know, hopefully we've had a glorious experience in the past, and that's great, but we ought to also be looking for more of Jesus tomorrow. Isaiah 12 says, I will drink deeply from the wells of salvation today, but I'm going to be thirsty again tomorrow. And I've got to drink again tomorrow. So we never stop experiencing. I've told you that my experience of growing up is my parents. Then my home church became my social network. Back before we knew what social networks were. You know, in 1975. And that was my net. That was my safety net. That was, you know. And I want to encourage you to put yourself in the places where you can experience Christ. And one of those is right here. You got, I'm a preacher, and preachers are supposed to say this, but it doesn't make it any less true. You've got to show up where God's people are and experience Christ in community. Experience Christ when we go downstairs and eat. Experience community when we go out and do things in the community, when y'all have done service projects. You've got to put yourself in the place where Jesus is. And whether that means it's with your Bible in the morning and a cup of coffee, or where, what, however that works for you. I'm not a morning person, so reading the Bible at 6 o'clock in the morning does not happen at my home. At least not by Tim. It might by Kelly, but it doesn't by Tim. But it's what works for you. But you've got, I encourage you with everything that I am, is to put yourself into the place where you can experience God. We may not, as Jesus says, we may not know where the wind comes from all the time, but one place where the Spirit always is that we can be sure. Even though the Spirit's with us all the time, there's just something different about when the saints gather and the Spirit can move. I've heard it explained this way, and then I'm finished. I think that in church, and especially when we're at the table together, that there's, the Irish call it a thin place. That it's this thin place where we can see almost through to the other side, where heaven and earth touch. And this is a place where heaven and earth touches. And we can experience the risen Christ like nowhere else. And so I encourage you, I challenge you, I dare you to follow, experience, and never stop experiencing Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, forgive us when we are so busy doing our own thing, when we're so caught up in our doubts, when we're so caught up in maybe past experiences or even other people's experience. Help us, oh God, to experience you every day in a way that's deep, lasting, and passionate. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.